even if there were 25 hours in the day and there were 8 days in the week, none of us can run full speed, 100%, 110% for that entire time. So with the limited amount of time that we have, how do we get stuff done in our most productive way? Basically, follow your pyramid, right? Do stuff in that way, and it'll feel easier, you'll be more productive, and at the end of the day, you'll get better results too.
Welcome to Powered by Instinct, a podcast for professionals who think about how your fundamental nature drives performance. In each episode, Colby experts will interview top performers, team leaders, consultants, and coaches to discuss identifying team members' strengths, aligning those strengths with their jobs, and optimizing individual and team performance. If you're interested in getting more done more naturally, then let's jump in.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Powered by Instinct. I'm Eric Pereira, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stephanie Clerget. And I'm super excited because we're going to do an experiment today. So everybody knows that when you take the Colby A, you get your four numbers and your colorful bars, right? But there's so much more to it. So today we're going to go through our own results, and we're going to talk about some of the customized tips that are embedded within our results to help you get the most power out of your report.
Sounds like fun, Eric. I'm excited.
Should be a good time. All right. So before we go through our reports, let's remind everyone real quick what the heck the Colby A is and what our MOs are. So Stephanie, what is the Colby A measure?
Yeah, so the Colby A is going to tell us all about our striving instincts. So not that stuff that, you know, you put on your LinkedIn or your resume or any of that. It's not about how smart you are or the skills that you have. It's not about your personality or, you know, what motivates you or whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or those things. All that stuff is really fun. But what the Colby A index actually measures are what we call your striving instincts. And so this is how you naturally solve problems, how you make decisions, and how you take action. But specifically, it's about how you take action when you're free to be yourself. So when no one else is telling you how you need to do it, and when you're taking action on purpose. So not that kind of stuff that you do to, you know, by habit, but the kind of stuff that you do when you are making decisions and solving problems.
Gotcha. All right. So it's all about how do I take action? How do I get stuff done, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Stephanie, I'm going to put you in a little bit of stress. Give me the 3 in FactFinder version of my 5392 and then the 3 in FactFinder version of your 8363 Colby result.
Yeah, you are trying to stress me out, aren't you, Eric? So, you know, what I love about your result is that you like doing things just like this. Experimenting. So the way you need to take action is that you naturally innovate and experiment. And so that's a big part of who you are. That's where you spend the most of your time. But you also have other powerful strengths in terms of giving, not oversimplifying, but not over explaining. You're the kind of person who is great to have around when, you know, maybe there's a plan and it's not quite working out. You're going to find a great shortcut or another way to get the same thing done. So that's a little bit about you. A little bit about me is I'm a little bit different from you, especially when it comes to that fact finder or how we naturally gather and share information. I'm going to naturally need lots of information in order to take action and solve problems and make decisions, much more than you are going to need. And I'm going to spend more of my time doing that. But we're similar in other ways. We're similar in terms of the way we naturally adapt. And the good news is when you are brainstorming and coming up with lots of alternatives, I am going to be there to say, you know what, maybe we could do this. How about I try this experiment with you and move forward? And we're both going to naturally imagine solutions versus needing to physically build them or physically be on site. How'd I do?
All right. All right. That was close enough to the 3 in FactFinder version. So that was awesome, Stephanie. Thank you.
Maybe a 4, 5?
Yeah, it might be a 4 or 5, somewhere in that neighborhood. All right. So when you first read your result and you went through all those 18-19 pages of it, how did you feel that first time?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When I very first saw my result, I mean, you know, I read it in order because when I don't read things in order, then I tend to skip too many things. And so when I read the fact finder, I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's neat. But it was really when I got to my follow through and quick start when things really started to gel and make sense. And in terms of things that I didn't know about myself. So the fact finder, because I spend so much time there, that really made a lot of sense to me. But my follow through is honestly something that maybe I thought was a little bit of a weakness previously. So reading the Colby A index was really affirming to me, knowing that having the natural strength to adapt was actually a strength for me. How did you feel when you first read yours?
Yeah. So as I read mine, you know, coming from the assessment world background, I had taken lots of other ones. And as I read through it, I was like, yes, this totally makes sense. It definitely nailed me. And, you know, as I'm reading through it, it says, hey, you're just going to go for it and see what happens and kind of change things on the fly. And that's absolutely how I get stuff done. Honestly, the most powerful thing was when I read somebody else's who was very different from me, because people always tell me, like, it's weird that I just go out and try things. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? Like, that doesn't make sense. How are you going to solve something if you don't try it? To then see that that's not how others naturally do it was really the most eye-opening part for me. I guess we do have natural, you know, different ways of problem solving. And as we both know, right, one of the great things about Colby is it's all strengths-based. So whether you're a 1, a 10, somewhere in between, those are all strengths. It's just figuring out how do we use those talents.
Absolutely. Well, and Eric, I want to anchor that point because I think one of the things that people miss out on when they take their own A is being able to compare themselves to somebody else when people, you know, don't quite understand their result or they want to learn more. The very first tip I give them is to go find someone else who has their Colby result and compare yours to someone else's. So that way, even if they're similar, you can kind of see, oh, well, even though we're similar, there are other parts of the mind that make us different in the way we use it. Or if they're really different, then you can see those contrast. So definitely something I would recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned previously, there's, you know, 18, 19 pages in every Colby A results. So luckily I printed out my results. I printed out your results. And so I have them in front of me. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through and kind of check out some of the cool features. We're going to point out some of the things that each of us find most useful in our reports. How about that?
So you want me to go through each page word for word for word? Is that what we're doing?
Absolutely not. No, I will absolutely end this podcast right now if we start reading it word for word.
Come on. It's my favorite thing is to go page by page, painstakingly telling you all the details. It'd be fun just to see the look on your face.
Yes. Those that are watching on video would have a great time seeing the pain that you're putting me through.
All right.
So let's jump in. You know, page one, front and center, right? It says, congratulations, then your name. And then just underneath that, it says, you got a perfect score in the Colby A results. So is that true, Stephanie?
Yes, even you, Eric, got a perfect score on the Colby A index. So yeah, it's a little bit cheesy, but it's really meant to remind us that these are all strengths. It's so easy. There's so many people out there in the world who are telling us about our saboteurs and our derailers and all kinds of weaknesses and language for how bad we are. So Kathy Colby really wanted to just remind all of us that we, you know, do have this set of strengths that can really be our best path to success. So I love that it starts off that way. Sorry if I burst anybody's bubble, though, if you thought you were the only person who got a perfect score. But what's even cooler is that little tiny paragraph or couple sentences underneath it. Eric, I actually want to read yours because I think it's such a great description of your cognitive talents. So it says, you're uniquely able to take on future-oriented challenges. You lead the way to visionary possibilities and create what others said couldn't be done. You'll say yes before you even know the end of the question and then turn it into a productive adventure. So I love that because that is so incredibly true about you. You start with yes. And even when I think some of your ideas are crazy, they do end up being a productive adventure and they're always full of possibilities.
Yeah, I always figure, like, I can figure out how to get it done. I'll just have to figure out, you know, kind of jump out of the plane and, you know, build the parachute on the way down. That's basically what I'm going to do. And, you know, it'll all work out in the end. We'll be okay.
Yeah, I love that part about you. So when people are looking for a really good summary of their strengths, you want to look at those little couple sentences right underneath that congratulations. So that's some really important stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier you mentioned Kathy Colby and, you know, she wanted to really focus on the strengths. One of the cool things about the Colby A is if you watch the online version or you go through the online version, there's actually audio from Kathy all along the way telling you about, hey, Stephanie, your 8 in FactFinder is amazing. And because of these things, your 3 in FactFinder is just, or in follow through is just as amazing. And here's some of the reasons. So it really reinforces that. So if you've just read the PDF version or the printed copy, definitely go to colby.com, find my A and there, find your A and listen to the audio version. It's worth it for sure.
Yeah, that's true. And even if you've had an interpretation, somebody who's Colby certified, who's kind of walked you through your report, then you can always go back to the audio that Kathy said, and you'll have that as something that you can revisit for a lifetime. So that's really cool. All right, what else do we want to talk about, Eric?
All right, so what I found really helpful for myself and with some of the clients that I work with is if we go through pages 6 through 9 in the Colby A. So in pages 6 through 9, you have each one of those colorful bars. We call them action modes. And it looks like a big bubble. And then underneath that, you have that orange rectangle. And it basically gives you some do's and don'ts, or some thumbs ups and thumbs downs. I always tell my groups, right, it's very simple. Do more of the thumbs ups, do less of the thumbs downs. You'll be more productive. You'll have a lot less stress. So I'm looking at yours right now. And when I said, hey, I'm going to throw Stephanie into a little bit of stress, one of the things that tells her not to do is to generalize. Right. So when I was asking her to generalize and not be very specific about our Colby results, I knew I was putting her into stress. But I also know Stephanie, she can definitely handle that.
Yeah, that's the good thing about knowing each other's Colby results is we actually know a little bit about what might be in store. So, yeah. And you know, these do's and don'ts are pretty cool. Page 5 talks about just descriptions, but the do's and don'ts are part of what really makes it actionable for people. And what sometimes people do get confused with the do's and don'ts, and the do's are what you would naturally do if free to be yourself, and the don'ts are what you would not naturally do. So a lot of times people look at the don'ts list and they're like, well, wait a minute, do I do these or do I not do these? And so it's if you were free to be yourself, you would be doing these things. And like Eric, I'm looking at yours in Fact Finder. It says that you should not get immersed in complexities or reread the fine print. I don't even know why it says reread, because I'm pretty sure you're not reading the fine print in the first place. But I think those are good don'ts tips for you.
Look, I glance in the general direction of the fine print on occasion. So
on occasion, yeah,
it works now.
I love it.
So as you look through your do's and don'ts, are there any of these that you find particularly helpful or that you use a lot?
Well, since we're both reads and follow through, this one's the same for both of us, but don't stick with step-by-step procedures or repeat patterns. I think that is really great advice for me. There are times when you get long forms that you have to fill out, or there are things that you have to do as a routine. And of course, you know, we can build habits. I know I've looked at your calendar before. You've got all sorts of color-coded stuff, and you clearly have some things that you do on a routine basis. And so you've had to build some habits to make that happen. But when you're trying to do your best creative work and solve problems, that's really when some of this stuff comes into play. And sticking by those step-by-step kind of things is going to really interfere with our type of creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. I find, you know, if I have to, you know, my wife buys something and I have to put together some furniture and it has the step-by-step instructions, that actually makes it worse. If I just look at the picture and then I figure out how all the stuff goes together, that is much more effective than me trying to follow, do this, find screw A47, put into hole 36. Yeah, that definitely does not work at all.
Oh my. Yeah. Well, and that actually, you know, is part of some of the do's for both for your quick start, right? So take on challenges, experiment, right? So you're going to do much better experimenting than kind of following those step-by-step type of stuff. Well, and interestingly, since, you know, you're a presenter and, you know, podcaster as well, you know, it says don't stick closely to the script for a quick start tip. And I think that's a fantastic tip too, right? So have some idea of where you're going, but, you know, don't over prepare. Don't stick too close to the script. Really great advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's talk about implementer, right? So implementer is one where we're both a 3. And again, everything's a strength, or you're a 1, a 10, somewhere in between. But sometimes people see, you know, as a 1, 2, or 3 as implementer as a weakness or a shortcoming. How's your 3 in implementer a strength for you?
Well, it's a strength for me because I don't need to see it to believe it. I don't need to be on site. I don't need to touch it and feel it in order to, you know, make decisions or solve problems regarding it. And it also helped me to make a really good deal at home, which is I take care of the inside of the house and my husband, who is a 4 in implementer, takes care of the outside. So he is the one who's taking care of the pool, which, you know, on a regular basis, you know, either of us could sweep the pool, but when the pool pump breaks, I'm really happy that, you know, he's there to take care of it, you know, work on the cars, do all that outdoor stuff that requires tools and implements. And, you know, I can set the vision for what I would like the outdoor space to look like. How about that?
Yeah. And so for those of you that don't know, Stephanie is our VP of training and VP of consulting. And so she's in charge of all of our training courses, all of our events, those kinds of things. And one of the ways where I see her three and influencer really play out is creating the experience, the vibe, the ambiance, however you want to think about it for our events. She actually spends a lot of time thinking through how all of the little pieces are going to work together. But again, it's not something you can actually hold. It's when you walk in that, oh, and that's feeling you get when you walk out and how great you feel. So yeah, I definitely see your three and influencer coming into play there for sure.
Oh, well, thank you, Eric. That's lovely. I don't think you've ever heard you say that out loud. So I love that's another quick thing is really when you're working with other people, articulating for them when you recognize them, not just for the result, but what strengths did they bring to the table? That's great. And yes, I do really pay attention to that experience. But when I need someone to figure out where the actual chairs are going to go or where the balloon arch is going to be or build the balloon arch, I am definitely looking for someone else. And that's why it says, you know, don't take responsibility for maintaining equipment or, you know, fixing broken parts or having physical models of stuff. So
yeah, we're in the same boat on that. All right. So kind of moving forward, you know, moving deeper into our Colby 8 results. So if we go to page 10, we all have this pyramid with all these little bubble things, right? And that's really talking about time and energy. So Stephanie, those little bubbles or little hockey puck things, what are they really called and what do they do?
Yeah, I was hoping you would call them hockey pucks because that's what I call them. But in the report, they're called urns. And, you know, it's a concept that's borrowed from science, from physics, and it's about energy. So these 100 little hockey puck looking things, they represent all of us having the same amount of mental energy. So we all have, you know, think of it 100 of these little things, think of it as 100% of mental energy. And the point of this pyramid is really to talk about how do we spend our time, right? Where should you be in general proportions spend your time? So your report is saying you need to be spending almost half of your time in that quick start mode. So you should be spending your time experimenting and coming up with new ideas and options and trying those out. Whereas I should be spending most of my time gathering specifics and information and doing research and really setting those priorities.
Perfect. Yeah. And you know, the way I always think about it, right, is when you talk about we all have a limited amount of energy is even if there were 25 hours in the day and there were 8 days in the week, none of us can run full speed, 100%, 110% for that entire time. So with the limited amount of time that we have, how do we get stuff done in our most productive way? Basically, follow your pyramid, right? Do stuff in that way. And it'll feel easier, you'll be more productive, and at the end of the day, you'll get better results too.
Absolutely. And the pyramid visual really helps too, because each of these individual little ergs, I like to think of it as every time I'm making a decision or, you know, doing something, you know, to solve a problem, it's like one of those little ergs are just flicked off of the top of the pyramid. And so we really also have to protect our energy, our mental energy, just like we protect our physical energy and figuring out when's the right time to do things, which strengths should we use, and, you know, not letting energy drains kind of get in the way.
Yeah. And, you know, as we continue to move through the index results, so if we look on page 12, we have something called a conable, right? Which in Colby language, think of it as a tip or a trick, right? And your number one conable here is commit, but to very little. So what does that mean in real life?
Yeah, so that's actually one of Kathy's five rules for trusting your gut, but that one is really applicable to everybody. So commit, but to very little is one that's really all about making sure that, you know, there's a lot of things that maybe you want to attempt to do, but you should have very few things that you are committing your full mental energy to do. Because like you said, you can't, you know, commit at the highest levels to doing everything. So really just kind of focus on the critical few things that you're going to put, you know, all of your conative efforts into doing. So that's what that's all about. But there are these little individual conables that are hidden all throughout the results. So I'm glad you called attention to that word, Eric, because some people might be, what the heck is that? But it's things that you're able to do with your conative strengths. So conable. And those tips are really helpful. So like one of yours is seize the moment when your ideas surface. Don't wait or debate. So that one really is kind of all about your quick start. and saying, you know, sometimes those ideas are amazing, but they're fleeting, right? And so they can either go away or you can easily allow other people to talk you out of them. So is that a good Conable that you've used before?
Yeah, my kind of basic rule of thumb is do it or don't. And what I mean by that is if I don't just do it right now, it's probably not going to happen. So let's make it happen if it's really that important.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you've kind of turned that into a phrase or a motto for yourself. Reminds me of my 3N follow through. I always say plan's the plan till the plan changes. So, you know, I don't get too attached to the plan. Let's just kind of go with the flow, that natural adapt.
Exactly, right? If I need to make a sharp left turn, that's okay, because I didn't have much of a plan to begin with anyway.
So, I hear ya. Well, and there's some great communication-specific Conables as well. You know, one of mine is when you need to be persuasive. And so everybody has some of these same types of Conables. So one about, you know, you're like what you're likely to procrastinate on or what you need to be persuasive. So mine says, when you need to be persuasive in an unfamiliar situation, play off what others say and respond to their needs. And that's because if you've got strengths that are in that mid-range, those are really strengths that help you to respond in specific situations. So it's just a reminder to me to kind of play off of other people and what's going on with them. Yours says, when you need to be persuasive, just wing it. Trust your guts to pull out the right examples and call it when you see it. So I love that.
Yeah. So for me, you know, preparation actually makes it worse. It's better if you just hit me on the spot and say, okay, what do you think? Go. And whatever comes out of my mouth generally is pretty good. Sometimes the challenge, though, is if you say, hey, what did you just say? Yeah, I don't know, man. It just came out. It just flowed. And then I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah, that's funny. That's actually one of the reasons why I love listening to your presentations, even if you're presenting the exact same material, because you're going to present it a different way every time. And then I can kind of take notes on different ways to express the same concept. So it works out well for me. I love it.
Yeah, and the good part is you spend the time making sure that, you know, the slides look really nice and everything is, you know, put together in a really presentable way. So I look like I'm professional. But yeah, then I get up there and I say, you know, who knows what each time on every different slide, for sure.
Oh, love it. So yeah, there are Conables all the way to the end, to almost to the very last page, right?
Yeah, you know, so again, a lot of this is about communication and relationships. So I think we started on page 12 with communication. No, still kind of, you know, going back to page 16, we're still on communication. So one thing for you, and I know this is true for a lot of, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10s in FactFinder, is, you know, when you're working with someone whose MO is similar to yours, avoid getting stuck in your shared methods by bringing others in with diverse approaches. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so a lot of, you know, in this case, the Conable is about FactFinder, but that's actually true for any of our strengths in the 7 to 10 range. Sometimes we can get bogged down. In FactFinder, it's, you know, sometimes you can get bogged down in analysis paralysis. So having somebody who can naturally simplify, or even someone like you who is going to get just the essential facts versus getting mired in too many details, can be really helpful for me to kind of pull me out of, you know, too much of a good thing that can come with my FactFinder. I am aware, you know, it's the first step in change, right?
Yeah, exactly. The first step is always admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
All right. So going to keep moving on. We're now on to page 17 in our Colbier results. And it's all about career considerations, right? Because we all do something for work. Even if it's volunteering, you're still working, right? And so you want to find one of those situations, a job that you're doing, a career that you're doing, that lines up with your natural strengths. Because we have tons of data to support this. When you can just show up and be you, we can just take action in your natural way. You're much happier, healthier, more productive. It just makes everything that much better. Instead, sometimes if we ignore some of this advice, it feels like every day when we go to work, we're pushing the rock uphill, right? Don't push the rock uphill, chase it downhill, because you're being so much more productive and things are just naturally flowing. So, you know, and if I was giving you some career advice, you know, Stephanie, and you said, hey, I'm tired of that Colby place. I want to find some other place to go work. You know, here's some of the things I would tell you. I would say, hey, find a place where you get to elaborate, you get to compute, you get to document, substantiate, and validate, right? If you're looking at a position and it says, hey, you got to be very broad and vague and just kind of wing it on the fly without much information, as a friend, I would say, don't do that. You're going to stress yourself out. You're going to continue to beat your head against the wall.
Yeah. And I think this can be really helpful. I was actually just coaching somebody the other day and they were talking to me about career advice. And of course, we've got, you know, UpGig and some other career programs. But even just in your A, I asked her to turn to this page 17 so she could look at, you know, some of these words. And I said, take out a highlighter and highlight some of the ones that really resonate with you that you want to make sure that, you know, you're getting that gist of that job in the job description and kind of, you know, comparing the job description to some of these words. And also you can use some of these strengths words when you are expressing yourself in the interview process. So yeah, for me, elaborate and document, those are some of the words that really work for me. And then assimilate and incorporate. Those are kind of weird, but I've always taken on roles where I am sort of bringing people into the fold. And in my case now at Colby, it's all about sort of onboarding people into Colby, especially our certified consultants, and making sure that they have everything that they need in order to, you know, do the job really well.
And you touched on a little bit, but once you know your Colby A strengths, as you're, you know, reading through that job description, look for those keywords. That is really, really important. Like for me, if I ever wanted, you know, to go find another job somewhere else, if I saw a job that said, be very structured, you know, by the book, follow detailed plans, I would know to run in the exact opposite direction from that role, because that would be painful every single day.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's great information about that in your A.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned the UpGig. So UpGig is another, you know, assessment that we have. And this actually looks at all three parts of the mind. So it looks at, you know, some of your cognitive strengths. What kind of educational background do you have? What are some of the things that you've experienced or learned over time? It looks at your interests, like, hey, I love animals, or I love, you know, outer space, whatever it is that you're interested in. And it also takes into account your cognitive strengths, how you get things done. It combines all those together. And then what it does is it says, all right, Stephanie, here are the 20 best jobs for you. And then it also gives you the, hey, Stephanie, here are the 20 worst jobs for you. So I know on mine, one of the worst jobs for me would be chemist, right? Yes, it would be fun to just pour stuff together in beakers and see what explodes, but that's probably not going to be the most productive use of my talents. So instead, yeah, I should, you know, push away from something like being a chemist and more move into a sales persuasion kind of a role.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping that coordinator of the nuclear reactor is nowhere near your UpGig result.
Yeah, that's a hard pass. I know enough about myself to know that I should not be around nuclear power.
Oh, love it.
All right. So we've basically gone through, you know, the majority of our Colby A results, right? There's a summary at the end on page 18. Some of you may have a report that's 19 or 20 pages. It's somewhat dependent on your particular four numbers and your result, because we add a little bit more based on those four numbers and how those results come out. But again, it's somewhere between 18, 19, 20 pages. So let's recap it, right? When you get your Colby A results, you get that cool, colorful bar, right? You got the red bar, the blue one, the green one, the yellow one, and you got those four numbers. But you're more than just those four numbers, right? Those four colorful bars are how you take action. Those four numbers, whether it's a one or a 10 or somewhere between, they're all strengths. And then make sure you go back to listen to the online version of your Colby A results, because Kathy's going to add some additional tips, give you some additional insight into your specific four number result there. And then again, if you've read your Colby A result, but it was, you know, a couple of years ago, a couple of months ago, go back through. The more you read it, the more that you learn more about yourself, and the more you pick up additional things. I think you do that fairly consistently, right, Stephanie?
Absolutely. It's actually every January I kind of have it as a challenge to go back through, read through my results every once in a while, listen to the audio, and refresh myself on what some of those great tips and just reminding myself of my strengths and to share them with other people that I work with.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, right? Share your strengths with those around you. Because if I understand Stephanie's an 8 in Fact Finder, and so she's going to ask me 47 questions, right? Then it's okay. It's not as frustrating on my end as someone who's not an 8 in Fact Finder. That's just her being her. And I know if I can answer all 47 of those questions, then she's going to engage, and now we can go take action together.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, I think I have a really great way to end, and it's actually the way that Kathy ends the Colby A index. And she says, now that you know the power of your MO, it's up to you to use it for good. The world needs your cognitive strength.
Yes, that was fantastic. And so I'm not going to add a whole lot more to that. We'll leave it in the real immortal words of Kathy Colby. But again, thank you, Stephanie, for joining. Thank you for those of you that are listening or watching us on YouTube. We really appreciate you spending some time with us. If you'd like to learn more, if you have not taken your Colby A result yet, definitely go to Colby.com, click that purple button in the upper right-hand corner, and learn what your natural cognitive strengths are. Thanks again, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Powered by Instinct. This show is brought to you by Colby Corp, a company that helps leaders and organizations thrive using the only instinctive strengths assessment on the market. If you enjoyed this episode, then follow Powered by Instinct wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or join us online at colby.com/podcast for all the latest episodes.